always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Wednesday night by Raj Chapalu. Raj, I think this is the first time you and I are speaking since the season ended.
That is correct. Yes. Sadly, I was, you know, actually game seven was supposed to be Sunday. So that's still on my calendar, actually. It was telling me, if necessary, there was a Lakers-OKC game seven, which obviously did not occur.
Yeah, the we have Alexa set up to, like, tell us about, you know, sporting events that are coming up, Lakers games, Dodgers games, etc. And after... No, not you. But so, like, she was telling us about game six, and it was like, oh, you poor soul. Even though you don't have a soul, you're a, you know, internet
lifeless
being. Yeah. Today on the show, though, we're going to be talking about Giannis. We're going to be talking about the Spurs and OKC series and why that brings about that Giannis conversation. We're going to be talking about a trickle of rumors about the front office and their efforts in trying to build out said front office. We're going to look back on this season and discuss. I'm still trying to figure out if it was a success or what to what extent it was a success. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And just kind of generally speaking, if you guys have any questions or comments, obviously hit us with them and we'll get to those towards the end of the show as well. A quick reminder, please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show. Please like this episode. Hit that like button. This show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and you will get $50 worth of free lineups when you sign up, use that code, and play a $5 lineup of your own. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but it all works the same for me. Where do you want to start, Raj? You want to start with Spurs OKC? You want to start with Giannis? Do you want to look back on this season? Do you like where do you want to talk about the trickle of rumors that we've started to hear about, like, the Lakers efforts in trying to build out their front office? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I think if you know me long enough, you know which one of those three interests me the most. So
Drake wasn't one of the options, and you know that was the, you know,
yeah, right. I thought that's what we were doing today. That's actually what you texted me today. You're like, actually, I heard the album and wanted to go through each song track by track, and so I feel a little bit fooled here as I see the rundown for today.
I haven't listened to a single second of any of the, he released three albums.
Three, yes, technically.
Who does he think he is? The Lounge? Releasing three episodes in a day? What are you doing?
I mean, it's three albums, but you know, one actually is the main one, and then the other two are pretty short. But in any case, yeah, like, I'm most interested. I honestly did not look at any of the Laker reports either, really, from today. So I think the whole point, and I'm not going to go on a rant here, but the whole point, Anthony, that we do this, like, this is the reason all of this matters is because to play in what we just watched in the conference finals. These four teams should be at the top of every conversation. This is what it should be about. This is what the whole timeline should be talking about. And I think this series has monumental consequences of what happens this summer. And that's what makes this battle so much more interesting. These are so clearly the two best teams. Knicks fans got upset at me calling this the NBA Finals. I'm sorry.
Knicks fans,
you know. Like, you've had a great season. You probably should have lost game one, but in any case, you're probably going to go to the NBA Finals. This is the NBA Finals, and my goodness, I hope Harper and J-Dub and De'Aaron Fox all come back relatively soon, hopefully on Friday. But what an amazing game that we just got to watch. So yes, I'd like to start there.
At one point in that game, Raj, Isaiah Hartenstein was throwing a lob to Chet Holmgren. A seven-footer was throwing a lob to a seven-footer. And Victor Wembanyama broke up the lob. You know how high up your hand has to be to break up a lob from one center to another? That's a, like, the angle on that is basically flat, right? Like, the reason that you can break up a lob from, like, a guard to a big is because the ball starts from a lower spot. So you can get your hand up, and just about anybody can break that up if they time it right. But if it's a big to a big, if it's at high-low pass, that ball is never coming any lower than 7 feet off of the ground.
Yeah.
And in that case, you know, it's going higher from there. And no, it didn't matter. Chet just broke it up. you noted a play in this game where Alex Caruso was going to step in and take a charge, backed out of taking a charge, and closed out successfully to a three-point shooter in the corner. You had in this game one of the most wicked dunks that we've seen in a while, where Von Castle's like looking down at the rim as he dunks on Isaiah Hartenstein. You had, I mean, any number of things, right? Any number of ridiculous things that we saw from this game. And by the way, both of these teams are playing shorthanded, and they're still playing at a level that I'm like marveling at, right? J-Dub exits the game. AJ Mitchell at one point walked off the court, a little hampered as well. Obviously, Dylan Harper goes down. De'Aaron Fox didn't play. Apparently, he has a high ankle sprain, which was news to a lot of people. And it doesn't matter. They're still playing it. It's just this astonishing level of basketball.
This feels like a different sport. I mean, it is the same sport. Technically, rim's still, you know, 10 feet high, etc. These two teams are playing. Right. Yeah. Wemby should play on a different rim. Honestly, they should change it every time he checks in the game, because it's not fair what he's doing. Really, I was thinking about this. Like, obviously, Shea is the 100 times better player, but just in terms of pain value, Lakers and Clipper fans watching this series, it feels like most Clipper fans have kind of got to a very safe space with Shea, going, we can appreciate his game. We understand the trade had to be done. Now, in hindsight, it didn't work out, but we can kind of live with, hey, you needed Kawhi and Paul George. He had to make that move. Laker fans watching Alex Caruso is like, every three is a knife right to the heart, and it just continues to be. I tweeted out, he's 16 for 26 in this series, 48 points. Someone tweeted at you, like, he's not going to do it again. It's like, what are you talking about?
Who cares?
But not just that. Who cares? He's done this consistently. He watched the whole playoffs last year. Watched the finals. He was a huge part of that in terms of their offense, their movement. He had a play today where he hit an in and out step back jumper over Wemby and then ran back like that's what he was supposed to do. It's had an absurd series, but I think you have to start with Wemby. It's not the exact same thing, but it gives me shades of watching AD remove the paint from teams, right? Just where teams have to decide, all right, we're not going to the rim against the Lakers, and you're going to have to get it from the outside. Wemby gives that plus another level. He breaks basketball similarly to me the way Steph broke basketball in 2016, just on the defensive end, where if he's even in your eyesight, you move the ball elsewhere. And the crazy part is OKC is so damn good. They're like, we need to beat you with jumpers. Okay. Shea, take 50 mid-range pull-ups. Jared McCain, take 9 threes. AJ Mitchell, take a bunch of jump shots. Lou Dort's hitting pull-up jumpers. This is just an amazing matchup, and OKC may be the only team in the league that even can make this look competitive in terms of the way Wemby's playing. But Wembanyama, just like all the hype and him, you know, reaching it and exceeding it has been absurd to watch, especially in high leverage games. He's a psycho competitive killer that just understands the basketball culture and the Chet Holmgren F off, like, you're not in my tier, right? And that thing has been just
amazing. He's turned Chet Holmgren into like Ruben Patterson. Remember when Ruben Patterson called himself the Kobe stopper? And yeah. Kobe was just like, you can go fuck yourself. Like, just
Yeah.
And he just like took pleasure in ripping Ruben Patterson limb from limb. And I feel like Chet just takes pleasure, or Wemby takes pleasure in breaking Chet Holmgren's soul, like over the course of the show, over the course of the game, where he's like, by the time, you know, every game ends, Chet is this like husk of himself. I also think though that, like, as far as Wemby goes, my favorite part of the Wemby experience so far is he does not care about being too cool or appearing too cool. Like, he is just like, yeah, it pissed me off that guy won the MVP.
Yeah.
That really annoyed me. And that's why I went out and dropped 44 and 25 in that game. He's like cried at the end of regular season games, and they're asking him about that, right? And I think one of them was like this crazy big comeback, and he's like, I really like winning.
Yeah.
There was like an all-star game that he lost, I think it was last year, and they like tried to interview him afterwards. He's like, I'm sorry, man. I'm just really pissed. I hate losing. And in this era of like too cool for this, and I'm too cool for that, I'm too cool for the slam dunk contest, I'm too cool for this, for to have Wemby just be like, no, like, we are here to win a lot. That's what we're here for. That's what I care about. For him to just go out and say that, I think it's really important for the league. And I'm just curious how Adam Silver's going to screw that up.
Donovan Mitchell had this quote, and I'm a big fan of Donovan Mitchell, but he had a quote before game 7, and they asked him, you know, how much pressure do you feel? And his answer was the very routine cliche, right? This is not pressure. Like, pressure is trying to make the league, or, you know, like some type of answer to really pull it off. I love that Wemby's like, no. Like, I care about this. Like, I want this bad.
Yeah.
Like, even so much where he's like cried after games, right? And people have talked about that. He had this amazing quote before he was drafted. I think he was asked about Scoot. Now, Scoot obviously hasn't reached the potential that they thought, but he's like, yeah, Scoot's a really good player, but it's just unfortunate he's in the same draft as me. You know, like, so he was talking his stuff way before then, and to watch him come out and just be this psycho killer with the height, with all the physical tools, right? Like, we've seen other bigs come in the league with those type of physical tools. I was thinking about Yao Ming as well, like, as a guy who had a bunch of size, and yeah, I was obviously a competitive dude as well, but I think Wemby just showing that off and screaming at guys and screaming at the crowd, and he had this amazing kind of image where Shea's trying to take the ball at him, and, you know, usually these type of centers, they try to play off their height, or, you know, kind of like, yeah, I'm 7 foot, but I got all these guard skills. Like, look at my guard skills. And Wemby's like, dude, I'm 7'6". Get off me. You can't touch, you know, you're not going to be able to get the basketball. And I love that he kind of shows his height off in a way where a lot of other bigs are kind of like, no, I can hit jump. Look at me. Like, I can hit jumpers. I have a finesse game.
Like, Kevin Durant, like, right, listing himself forever at 6'10", even though, like, everybody has seen him. Like,
right.
Dude, you're 7 feet tall. You know, like Kevin Garnett did the same thing for a long time. It was like, buddy. And Wemby's like, no, actually, I'm 7'9" now.
Right. I added a few more this summer.
You know, Raj, here's my other thing about Wemby. And this is, I'm not going to, like, it's been funny to see the people who've been, like, competing. Like, I was first on Wemby. It was like, guys, everybody was early on the Wemby train. But for me, the moment that he went from intriguing prospect, all-time prospect, you know, just prospect to, oh no, we might be screwed. Go back and watch the lottery. There's a camera on Wemby. And when he sees that the Spurs won it over, oh God, I forget who came second that year. Was it Portland? I think it was Portland, right? Because they picked Scoot.
Mm-hmm.
When the Spurs won it, and Wemby was clearly thrilled that the Spurs won that lottery, because he knows the Spurs track record with David Robinson, with Tim Duncan, so on and so forth. For him, was it Charlotte? It doesn't matter. It doesn't. I thought it was Portland because they picked Scoot.
That's what I thought,
but,
too.
But, like, whatever it is, like, Houston comes to mind because I think they picked Jabari. And then Scoot was picked after Jabari.
Jabari was the Paolo draft. It was a little different.
I forget. Sure. But it doesn't matter. But like when I saw that Wemby knew enough about the league to be thrilled that the Spurs won it, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, he knew.
Like not only was like, ah, dang it, the Spurs are gonna get everything out of Wemby, but for Wemby to know that too. And go there and immediately become like what he's become. It's just like, God dang it. And then for them to also get lucky to the extent that they did in future lotteries as well. It's like, this is unfair. But yeah, like I watching this game and, you know, to kind of segue into like the next kind of aspect of this conversation, watching this series, Raj, has made me think I need to take the Giannis trade stuff more seriously than I had previously. And it's for a couple of reasons. I've kind of gone over this already with Harrison. I don't know if you listened to that show or whatever, but it's for a couple of reasons. One, I just think the Lakers need to really raise their talent level bar. Like, and I don't think this front office is equipped right now to do so by way of depth. Like I just, you know, maybe in a couple of years when the pro scouting department is in place and the player development process, you know, or team is better in place and the Lakers are just operating at a higher level. Maybe by that point we can talk about depth and stuff like that. But what the Lakers are still excellent at is star acquisition. So let's lean into that as a strength. Second reason, think about the things that you need to do against Wemby specifically. And this is what's going to happen across the league. Everybody is going to start building for that dude. Like 7 seconds or less, those Suns teams, they came about as the evolution of the sport to beat Shaq, right? Everybody, like at first it was like, everybody was like, all right, we're going to employ 7 7-footers. And they're all going to use all 6 of their fouls because that dude is just so imposing. We need to build a wall around the rim and all this stuff. And then eventually teams started realizing, wait, he can't quite guard the pick and roll. And so eventually, and he can't quite get up and down the court. And if he can't get up and down the court, maybe we can beat him up and down the court. And the sport sped up and the sport spread out. And eventually Shaq's impact was somewhat mitigated. Also mitigated because Shaq didn't take very good care of his body and his prime was kind of cut short. But we're going to start seeing this with Giannis, where right now I think the best way to mitigate Wemby's impact is to shoot over him, right? There's a lot of talk right now, especially among Warriors fans. Steph has good games against him because he can just shoot from so far out that Wemby isn't impacting his shot. The Lakers have a guy who loves hitting step back 3-pointers. That gives them, I think, a bit of an advantage, compared to the rest of the league here too. But you also have to defend Wemby as well. And yes, Giannis is on the wrong side of 30. Yes, he's not quite the athlete that he was a while ago. And yes, there are very much injury, you know, there are plenty of injury concerns about Giannis at this stage of his career. He hasn't been able to play or finish a playoff in like 4 or 5 years. But when you look at the guys who are physically equipped to even kind of bother Wemby, Giannis is as equipped as well equipped as you can humanly be. So for me, it's you know, leaning into what the Lakers are good at and building a team to beat that dude. What do you think?
I mean, so I'll preface by saying Giannis is a monster and he's well equipped to guard everybody in the league, right? And that includes obviously Wemby. Now his skill set's definitely being stronger, you know, his athleticism, his length, his agility as an athlete, like that does help against Wemby. I do think signing players to go at like the Spurs and Thunder, the Thunder have lost some of their invincibility in this series. It's so wild to watch that happen in real time and how instant that happens, right? It feels like they were this unbeatable monster, perfect organization, and all of a sudden you see some blood dripping from their lips and you're like, oh, they're beatable. Like we can get them, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait, hold on. Like that team is still, they are so far ahead in terms of, I know we haven't gotten to the depth pieces yet, but Castle, Harper, even Kellen, right? The guy who won Sixth Man of the Year. They had a guy who come off their bench today, and McLaughlin came in and hit 2 threes. Like, they are so deep, and so is OKC, where you mentioned the injuries. J-Dub's out, Dylan Harper's out, and these teams still just put tremendous amount of talent on the floor. I don't think you can go into this summer because it's not possible. It's like cramming before a, you know, final exam where, you know, you studied for a little bit and you're like, oh wait, no, I gotta do it. Like, I saw the test guys. Like, I got the answers. It's like, no, yeah. Dude, like, that's not how this works.
Like that.
No. Yeah. So you're going to have to build this summer in some way. Now, build is not you don't have 5 years to build and you don't have 3 seasons to get into the lottery, but there's gotta be we got to build a team out that makes some sense. And I think they're farther ahead than some people giving them credit for in that. Now, again, these teams are on a different planet. That's why I don't think shooting for these two teams specifically is the right move. I want to build the best team I can, whether that be depth, whether that is a star, and then go forward. I just, the Giannis stuff, I was forward a little bit earlier in the season. The season he's had just now, he played 36 games this year. Now, some of that is for sure. Some of that was some strange stuff with Milwaukee, right?
Shenanigans there at the end where he was going to the league and asking him, hey guys, right. I'm ready to play.
right. Yeah. He was like, I want to play. And the Bucks like, no, we're trying to keep you. Right. So there was definitely some of that going on, but he's definitely kind of had these, you know, day-to-day injuries pop up a little bit more than he's had before. You mentioned he's on the wrong side of 30. I also think he's not the athlete he was. And then if this is the move you make, this is your final move, right? This is the one move we're going for all in on the Luka Austin team or whatever. I'm not sure I would go with that. And I don't see the Lakers doing that. I think they'll get into the talks. I don't think they're going to get Giannis. I don't know what Giannis wants this summer, but I want to like get a center that makes some sense. I would, again, these teams are so deep, like watching these two teams go at it. These are 9, 10, 11 guys deep sometimes. And I think that's necessary.
Although I think the Spurs got a little cute in that one, right? Playing a little bit. Jordan McLaughlin and
Harrison Barnes. Yeah.
Harrison Barnes played.
They were out too. Fox and Harper, right? So they kind of had to dig in their bench a little bit more to kind of buy some guys minutes. Even with that being said, Shea played 51 minutes in game one. I don't know how many played tonight. Wemby, I think, got over 50 as well in game one. So, like, even with the depth, their stars have to go deep. But there's no answer. Like, there's no answer to the end of the question of who stops Wembanyama. Like, this is just a freight train coming for the league, and there's nobody who can step in front of it and really slow it down. Like, he's going to be his own enemy within that or his own challenge. I think the Lakers just need to build the best team they can into next season. I'm not really for putting every chip into the table, especially if LeBron is back, right? It's a strange team to go all in, and one injury to either of those probably puts you in a really tough position. So that's kind of where I'm at. Will I be upset if Giannis is a Laker? Obviously not. That's a superstar in this league, but I'd like to build some type of team out this summer.
I want everybody, because I see the chat. I see Raj's response. I've seen Harrison's response to this.
Okay.
If the Lakers walk away with Giannis,
no.
I'm pulling receipts and everybody, like, none of you fuckers get to be excited, okay?
That's not,
I better not see a single Giannis jersey in Staples Center or Money Laundering Arena. I do not want to see it, okay? Like, I'm telling, here's the thing, all right, this depth that we're talking about, right? These centers that we're talking about, these wings that we're talking about, right? Like, you're putting in a restricted offer on an offer on a restricted free agent, Walker Kessler, or a restricted free agent offer on Jalen Duren. Do you see him this last postseason? You watched that?
No, I don't think he'd be the one. I don't think he'd be the one. And I don't think Detroit's gonna let him go either.
All right. So it's not those guys. It's Nick Claxton. It's
like, I like Harden. I like Hartenstein. Like, if you can get Hartenstein for 30, 35 or something like that. I like that number. I'm not a big cap guy, but that'd be interesting to me. And I think also, like, Giannis would deplete every asset you have. Like that's what it's going to cost to get him. I don't see the avenue, and then I don't see where you build a team out from that. Those are huge steps to take in one summer. Now, again, if you had 3-4 years where you can build with this, I understand that. Like, next season, if you're trying to, I don't think you get to Spurs and OKC next season, no matter what move you pull off this summer. But yeah, I think it depletes everything you have. But to your point, they put a lot of eggs in the basket of this summer. So, like, again, they could see Giannis as the one that fills that basket. I have a hard time seeing how that team just competes. And again, just one injury, like, the NBA has become a, you better be able to survive without your stars league. J-Dub missed 55 games this year. Like, teams are going to be out of players.